Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today's program features an interview with Dr. John Swallow, the president of Carthage College, where, full disclosure, I am a professor in the education department. Dr. Swallow came to Carthage in the summer of 2017 and has been learning about the college and the greater Kenosha and Racine area. At this point, after a year and a half in office, he's ready to share his vision of Carthage's future and how it fits with the future of Southeast Wisconsin. So welcome, President Swallow.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Just as by way of introduction, John Swallow is the 23rd president of Carthage College, who came to Carthage from the University of the South, also known as Sewanee. For the Tennessee town in which it is located, where he served as executive vice president. He also earned his initial college degree from Sewanee, graduating with majors in both English and math at the age of 19, which is pretty amazing. He also went on from there to earn not one, but two master's degrees and a PhD in math from Yale University, which I note took him only 5 years. And then he taught at Davidson College in North Carolina for 17 years before returning to Tennessee on his way to his ultimate destination, which is Kenosha, Wisconsin. So you moved here in the summer of 2017 and took up a residence in one of the dorms. From that lofty vantage point, what was your first impression of Carthage and the greater Kenosha and Racine area?
Oh, that's a great question, Karen. When I think about those first days, and it was in the RA apartment, it wasn't just a regular room in the residence hall, I remember thinking that Carthage and Kenosha were big enough to have lots of opportunities, particularly more than places I'd been before, but small enough that it's still very relational, that you get to know people. And I remember that first month, my wife Cameron wasn't with me yet. She told me that I needed to sort of dig in and work hard. And what I realized later is that she really wanted a month by herself. But I thought I would go and get something to eat. And so I was able to walk from campus to a Mexican restaurant called La Fogata. And so first of all, it was there. It was open. I could walk to it. So that was great. And then I walked in and there was a kind of awkward moment when three women from the advancement office were sitting at a table together and they saw me come in. They weren't sure whether to invite me, but that was the relational part. And so they did, and we had some margaritas together. And so that was kind of my introduction to what it would feel like to be in Kenosha and Carthage.
How does it differ from the other two areas where you've lived for most of your life, North Carolina and Tennessee?
Right, and even growing up in South Carolina. So all the places that I'd lived before, except for sabbatical years, were in smaller towns, either suburban or rural. So it might be a town of 3,000 like Sewanee, or a town of 10,000 like Davidson, or a town of 25,000 where I grew up in South Carolina. But this is new, to be in a town of 100,000 or county of 150, close to many people from Milwaukee to Chicago. Because of the relative nature of everything, I see lots of opportunities to do things together, because when I was in smaller places, those opportunities weren't there.
Right. So there is a formal document outlining your vision for Carthage, which we will share on our Education Matters Facebook page so listeners can read and respond to it. Your plan has some interesting guiding phrases: communicate boldly, educate expansively, integrate regionally, and excel responsibly. So I know it's a very big question. There's a lot of things contained there, but what do you mean by these phrases, or you know, what can you say overall about your plan?
Sure. Well, we can start in order there. Communicate boldly is my commitment now to have Carthage express itself and express the programs it's offering and the great news that it has more and more widely. So it's a competitive marketplace. We want to educate lots of students. We want them to be at Carthage and provide the opportunities we have. So for instance, I will be talking more in different venues about our microgravity team, and Kevin Crosby, our professor who leads that effort, which is frankly as significant as many of the research efforts at very big places, and results in our students doing experiments that are on a Blue Origin New Shepard rocket, which is very exciting. And when I think about educate expansively, that really is to use as many channels as possible so that we can educate as many people and provide the kind of background that they're going to need. There's no question, and this is so much the conversation in Wisconsin about how to prepare people for the jobs that will exist, particularly when there will be so many retirements. So even before Foxconn, there is going to be a large workforce hole, and so the economy of the state is at stake. And so when I'm thinking about educating expansively, it's not only traditional undergraduates. That's wonderful. That's the core of what we do. But programs for adults or mid-career professionals and how they can get the training that they need. Integrate regionally is particularly exciting. There are so many people from Milwaukee to Chicago. Part of, I think, what Carthage is called to do is be a part of communities. It's that Lutheran sense of vocation and making a contribution. So, for example, we have our nursing students who are involved in a effort called Baskets of Joy to provide for children. And the first year we did this, there were 19 baskets. And our goal this year is 800 baskets to spread out to children and families who need them. And then last, Excel Responsibly is really about equipping faculty and staff to do the work that we'll need to do over 5 to 10 years and to make sure they're rewarded and supported in that effort.
So your vision, as you know, integrate regionally indicates, your vision for Carthage is tied to the region. So tell our listeners how you see them fitting together.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to find as many opportunities as we can. So I'll give a couple of examples. Right now, we are engaged with Foxconn around the Smart City, Smart Futures competition. And so we had an event on campus where the first round of those awards were given. For many years, we've been hosting the Mahone Fund's Reaching for Rainbows Pursuit of Excellence event. And those are examples to me of the what I would say is really the beginning of being more a vital partner to other organizations in the region. So whether those are corporations or they're not-for-profits or they're government agencies, how can we engage in mutually beneficial and even deeper and deeper partnerships over many years where we can see ourselves as a partner in taking responsibility for the development of the region? So this goes beyond simply saying that we educate students. We do, and that's wonderful, and that's our bread and butter. But when I think about our responsibility as one of the larger not-for-profits in the region, I think we should be measuring our success by how much of a contribution all of us are making to the development of the whole corridor.
So the region, obviously, you said a little bit about this. This obviously encompasses many people who will actually never take a class or hold a degree at Carthage or maybe even set foot on the campus. So how do you see this vision affecting all of those folks who don't feel that direct connection to Carthage?
That's true, and it's certainly not the case that every person between Milwaukee and Chicago will end up being a student at Carthage College in one form or another, and that's fine. But I'd like to think about all the ways we can plant seeds and have Carthage intersect their life somehow. So if a person in the region ends up going to a local museum, why should it not be the case that they don't notice somehow that Carthage was involved in the ongoing operation of the museum? So these could be arts and cultural events. It could be that they work for a corporation that has engaged with our students over a project over time. It could be that we have our students volunteer in a local church or other institution that is meaningful to them. And so that they encounter us, they encounter the impact of Carthage, even if they're not directly becoming a student or paying for a particular program. But Carthage makes a difference in their lives.
So Carthage is seen as an elite institution by many people in the area. And my guess is that you're used to thinking about town-gown relations from your previous smaller communities and how they interact. And obviously you're working at that. So, one of the things I think that makes Carthage seem elite is that the tuition, the sticker price, seems too high a barrier for students and families of modest means. So what can you tell listeners about Carthage that might help them see it as a resource for themselves and their family members, mm-hmm. maybe help students who might think it's out of reach, that it's not necessarily?
Right. No, that's a very good point, Karen. I do worry, not only for Carthage, but for lots of schools, that the high tuition, high discount model does dissuade people. So we are a private school, but I wouldn't call us elite in the kind of snooty sense. So our faculty and staff work very hard. Our students sometimes are occupying one or two jobs as part of their education. It's very practical, and they are coming to prepare themselves for later. The average tuition that a family would pay over a year at Carthage is between $15,000 and $17,000. So it's nowhere near the list price that we say we have. We offer $60 million in financial aid every year. And so those are some important aspects. And for people in Kenosha and Racine, I've been glad to find out that we have between 300 and 400 students each year from Kenosha and Racine. We offer 20 competitive scholarships, full tuition for residents of Kenosha and Racine. And so that gives maybe a more nuanced approach. It's we have families from a variety of backgrounds, and we want to be accessible to all of them. And so providing the financial aid is a very significant part of that. For what we charge, we believe that we have an attractive and practical and meaningful education. So we have a 12-to-1 faculty-student ratio. No, the mathematician in me just had to stop there and say it's 12-to-1 student-to-faculty ratio.
Right.
Have to get that right. And we provide some unusual opportunities for students. We were ranked by the Institute of International Education number 5 for short-term study abroad among American small colleges. And we've been a top producer for Fulbright recipients to go abroad for a year or two, 4 years in a row. And so I'd like to think that for many students, we are a good value proposition, but recognizing that we are a private college, and so the price points are going to be different than some other colleges.
Right. You are listening to WGTD HDFM, and this is Education Matters. This discussion with Carthage College President John Swallow about his vision for Carthage and its role in the region is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. It might be worth giving a quick picture of the college for our listeners. So maybe number of students, employees, regional economic contributions, number of area alumni, et cetera. What can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, we are a college of about 2,800 students. So that'd be 2,600 traditional undergraduates and then some adult students and graduate students. We have about 250 part-time faculty and staff, and then we have a little over 400 full-time faculty and staff. And the alumni numbers are really quite interesting to me. So in Kenosha and Racine, we have a little over 4,000 alumni. If you look between Chicago and Milwaukee, it's a little over 9,000. And then in Wisconsin and Illinois together, it's 17,000. And we have about a little over 20,000 alumni altogether. So you can see that we are connected in terms of the alumni we have locally and regionally. And so there's some opportunity to enjoy that fact.
Yeah, that's kind of stark, the numbers. Actually, I was not sure myself. That's part of the reason I asked this. So 9,000 people just in the Milwaukee-Chicago corridor. That's a lot.
It's a lot of people, yes.
Yeah. I've met a lot. It's very interesting sort of when I tell people we just moved to Illinois recently, and I meet people all the time, and they say, oh, yeah, I've heard of Carthage, which is interesting because I grew up in Wisconsin, and I had never heard of Carthage until I applied here after living in other states for a long time. So I had never heard of Carthage ever until 2007.
And where in Wisconsin did you grow up?
I grew up in Green Bay.
Okay.
And so I had no idea, never heard of it.
Well, I would hope that today, if you grew up in Green Bay, that there would not be a way for you not to know about Carthage.
I think so, because actually I've had a lot of students from Green Bay, so I believe that it probably would be the case. So what are the biggest changes to both the college and its students in recent years?
Well, the first most noticeable change, if you drive by, is the tower, our 126-bed residence hall that opened for this fall with two floors of program or hangout space for students. That's really exciting. We announced a four-year comprehensive career development program, or Aspire, that is launching to have its first cohort be the first-year students coming this fall. So that's a major initiative I'd be glad to talk more about. And then when I look back over the last several years, I see that the student body has become more representative of the region. So the percentage of students of color has surpassed 20%, so it might be 23% now. And that's been a change for Carthage over the last 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I think all those things are great steps forward.
Yes. So as I mentioned in the introduction, you majored in both math and English in college. And the recent focus on technological work and career-focused education seems to favor math and other hard sciences over humanities and the arts. So how do you see that balance working in the vision you have set for the college?
There's certainly lots of talk now about how you prepare students for the future. I mean, I hear that so much in Wisconsin, both because of the workforce needs and the fact that we have different educational institutions close by. And there are concerns with the public about cost. All those things make sense. Also, there's an increasing recognition that students are different today. They come, for instance, with fewer having worked in high school. That's simply a fact that we could say is good or bad, but it's true. And so there's a lot of conversation that seems to make good sense to me about what colleges should do to prepare students, given that they haven't been as close to the workforce before. But I would say that while there's a lot of emphasis on technical education and there's emphasis on STEM fields and so on, I don't see my vision as pushing in that direction so much as acknowledging that we need to prepare students in many ways for not simply the job that they will have, but how they're going to make a contribution in the world. So it's a kind of practical responsibility. So some are going to go into science fields, some are going to go into business, some are going to go into education. Mm-hmm. Some will go into all of those organizations that make up society, and many of them will have come from backgrounds that are in the humanities and the arts. It's not always as obvious that that's going to happen. So I'm an English major who feels like I could work in a lot of organizations, and not simply because I have a math background too, but I think about all those liberal arts skills. You can analyze. And that's true across the board, all of our majors. You can communicate. That's true across the board in all of our majors. You ought to be able to have some experience working in groups. That's where I think there's that kind of practical experience being in organizations. And so for me, it's a misunderstanding to think that the major is what is going to choose the eventual job. But we do need to do a good job helping people understand that. The understanding of the human condition and people that is true in the humanities, that is deeply understood, frankly, is as vital today as it's ever been. That is not to say that all those graduates are going to end up producing literature, teaching literature, or being in museums, but they're going to be in all the organizations helping us all understand each other and work on society's problems. So I think about that kind of practical responsibility and the full range of skills that liberal arts graduates will need.
Okay. So, and you just mentioned this, Carthage is a liberal arts college. So what does liberal arts really mean in the broad sense, and how is it uniquely addressed at Carthage?
Oh, that's a great one that there's lots of conversation about. For me, when I think about the liberal arts and what it has meant over time, I'm particularly persuaded by the idea that it's a well-rounded, holistic education. Sometimes we worry about saying liberal arts, and then we have to define liberal and arts, and we have to define the disciplines, and it sounds very 19th century or medieval. And it can even goes back to the Greeks. But if we leave all that aside and that kind of the historical changes over time, I think there are four elements that are deeply part of a liberal arts education for me, and this comes from the work of William Sullivan. So there's the fact that we need to be able to analyze deeply complicated issues. So that is the first part. Most majors, if not all majors, have a strong component there. Second, we need to be able to see issues from many points of view. So framing the discussions differently, understanding that there are different standards of evaluation or consideration or what is thought to be better or worse. If we think about, you know, economics and culture and society, those are simply different ways to view the world we're in. So that's an important point, that the multiple perspectives point. Historically, liberal arts has also had a component about moral reasoning. So understanding how to make judgments and reason through some difficult situations that are ethical or have other implications. And then finally, and this has been true for years, even though it doesn't come out much, and maybe we're making it come out more now, is a practical side about how to get things done. I don't think liberal arts education has ever been only about studying things in the past or not being able to produce a significant project and communicate it. So I think in recent years we've been spending more time emphasizing that and encouraging people to remember that that's been part of what we do. But those are the four aspects for me. So the analysis part, multiple perspectives, moral reasoning, and then a kind of a practicality about how to do work. And those things, if they're all together and they're worked through over several years in a college, I would call that a liberal arts education. To me, you can't do any of that work without at least having a context. So I can't ask you, Karen, to do some research if I don't say, well, do research as a historian or do research as an economist, because then it starts to mean something and we can evaluate it. But research just by itself, it's too open. So the reason we have majors is to give people that context for all that good work that they're going to do.
So you've worked at other liberal arts colleges. How is Carthage unique in addressing the liberal arts?
For me, Carthage comes from a history and legacy of being very open about the application, if we can use that word, of the liberal arts to life and vocation. So the Carthage approach, going back at least 1870, for me, doesn't seem to have been about what Carthage wanted to exclude, like we don't want to teach this or we don't want to teach these people, but about an openness to what the world needs. So men and women were educated in 1870. There were courses in the classics and in business in 1870. And that was not true about the schools that I've been a part of before. It was much much narrower for a long time. And the two schools that I spent my career in waited about 100 more years to admit women, for instance.
Wow.
So there was a real reluctance to move away from a narrow conception. And mm-hmm. that I don't see at Carthage.
So that probably has a little bit to do, at least, with the Lutheran background, the sort of idea of vocation.
Yes, I would see it as part of the Lutheran notion of education. And also it seems to me, I'm not an expert in these things, but it seems to me a bit more Midwestern. Mm. And that's where you get that kind of practical roll up your sleeves and get things done approach instead of worrying too much about tradition or change. I'd love to know more about the origins of those ideas, but Carthage moved from Hillsboro, Illinois to Springfield, and then it moved to Carthage, Illinois. And when I read the history, it was that moment in Carthage, Illinois in 1870 where it seems to have understood itself in this particular way. And so it may have understood itself differently before that with those itinerant mm-hmm. Lutherans and what was called the Far West back then.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a long legacy from 1870 forward for Carthage College around an openness to what the world needs and how to provide the education that's needed for it.
Okay. Once again, you are listening to WGTD HDFM, and this is Education Matters. This discussion with Carthage College President John Swallow about his vision for Carthage and its role in the region is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So there is a formal document setting out your vision for Carthage that, as I said before, I'm going to share on our Facebook page so listeners can read it. But I wanted to quote this section. Do you feel okay reading that out loud?
Sure.
Sure.
Glad to. We should and can be that singular college that turns negative public attitudes around through positive community partnerships, partnerships that strengthen our educational mission and serve the greater good. We can and should see not over but through traditional boundaries between municipalities, businesses, and not-for-profits. We can and should see those boundaries as inherently porous, accommodating and welcoming a lively exchange of ideas, talents, and opportunity. Most importantly, we can and should see this model as part of a renewed commitment to fostering the full potential of our students so that they can rise to meet the myriad and difficult challenges confronting the world as they build purposeful and richly rewarding lives.
Okay, so that's a lot. One of the things that I noticed about this and why I picked this particular quote is about the community partnerships, the partnerships part of this, and kind of the porous boundaries part. So what are some of the ways that Carthage already serves the community through partnerships? And how do these current partnerships inform the vision for the future?
Well, let me give two examples. First, we have Wenji Sun's GIS class. So they're learning about how to map data and information and how to glean significance from it. But they're not doing that in the abstract. They're not doing it with a cookbook example and a textbook. So instead, they're partnering with the Kenosha County Health Department, and they're creating heat maps of opioid incidents in the county. That's important because the county and the health department have limited resources that they want to deploy to address the opioid issue. And so they don't want to do it in a way that's not as effective as possible. But they need that analysis to understand how they can make the most impact on the most number of people. And so this is an example of where our students are learning how to do some work and then are doing some work, frankly, that has a direct social impact and makes a difference for our local partners like the health department. So I'm very excited about that. That seems to be data science for the public good. Mm-hmm. So we learn, but we do at the same time, and they see genuine consequences for how accurate their work is. And then as another example, our theater department has produced Up and Away, a play that addresses an opioid epidemic in Wisconsin, and that's gone on to regional and national acclaim. But along the way, they really wanted to get to know the issue. This wasn't simply about producing a play, but it was about people, and it was about something that's happening today across the country, particularly in Wisconsin. And so as part of the events that they put on with the play, they provided Narcan training in Madison to participants who came to see the play. And then those people who watched it not only thought of it as a work of art, but they thought about how they might want to change their life to have an impact on this particular issue. And whether that's contributing to the work, whether it's doing analysis for the work, whether it's simply helping someone directly in need. So I see that as another example of a genuine consequence to the work that our students are doing.
And I would add, those are two incredible examples. And I was thinking, what is he going to choose? Because there are actually a lot of these things. And I can say just from my perspective as a professor that, we can't do the work that we do without working with community agencies, with schools, obviously in my case. But I've sent a student this semester is doing sort of a fieldwork course in the public library.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've sent students to the public museum in the past, and I'm doing a partnership with another student and with Mrs. Swallow with the public museum right now. So I think there are a lot of ways. I mean, we couldn't be the college we are without the community, is my sense of it.
Exactly. And so for someone who comes from similar institutions but in very small places where there aren't as many classrooms or museums or corporations or other not-for-profits to do that work in, I see this as an enormous strength for Carthage to be here and be able to partner with others.
Yeah, I would tend to agree because I taught in a smaller community and we had to partner with like 10 different school districts and just in order to get enough places for our students
right.
to be placed. And they had to drive really far, and it was, mm-hmm. A completely different experience than it is here with our two giant school districts plus the others in the county that we work with. So you mentioned earlier that we have a new program called Aspire. So tell us what Aspire is and how it fits in with all the rest of what we've been talking about.
So Aspire is our new commitment to have a comprehensive four-year career development program for all students. So this is not approached in the sense of having a career services office that you can make an appointment with and visit occasionally, but that this would be simply part of what we do and that students would access experiences like internships and other opportunities as easily as they register for classes. In fact, when they first sit down to think about classes, they will think about that with a first-year advisor, a faculty advisor, a career advisor, and so this can be an absolutely integrated experience. We're even doing some things now before we formally launch all this in the fall. So we have some supplemental funding for internships for our students now. We have subscribed to something called the Vault Guides that reviews companies and industries to provide students more information about whether what they might go into is a good fit for their own interests and passions. So for the Aspire program to realize the potential that we seek, it's not only about how we want to reach all of our students, but it's about we need opportunities for those students, and we want this connection between Carthage and the community to be a platform for the work and the significance of Carthage College as a whole. So I see these things as very integrated. So this is a program that we are offering students, which will be part of the student experience at Carthage. So it will be beneficial to them. It will meet the needs of prospective students and families who want to make sure that their students are as fully prepared for life as possible. But at the same time, now we have a commitment for hundreds of opportunities of our students. And I think that's the way that we then move out into the community and say, what are the best projects for the community? It's not an either-or about whether it's better for students or better for the community. My guess is it's the both-and, and it will be best for both if it's truly integrated. And so, several years from now, I would love us to ask the question, given that we had many more projects in the community for faculty, staff, and students, did Carthage have the right impact? Did Carthage take responsibility for having a positive impact? It's not simply providing experiences. It's experiences of positive consequence. So I'd love for us to get to that point and ask those questions. So these are still early days for that. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, would represent that the fullness of Carthage being integrated regionally and taking responsibility for the growth and development of the region.
Right. And I think it sounds to me like one of the things that you're offering to prospective students and families is to not get to be a senior and say to themselves, oh, wait a minute, now what?
Right,
they should be asking that question all the way through.
That's right. And it shouldn't be seen as something separate. Like, first I do all my classes and pick a major, and then I'll get to these other things like thinking about a resume and maybe an internship and mm-hmm. where I want to be. And to me, this really does go back to that Lutheran sense of vocation. I'm doing all this for a purpose. So it is my interests and it is my passions, but it's also going to be of consequence. And we all need to take the kind of practical responsibility for what that contribution is going to be and not see them as separate.
Right. Well, that was actually my next question about how do you think Carthage's Lutheran affiliation informs this vision? And we said a little bit about this before, but, you know, you're not Lutheran, I assume?
I did not grow up Lutheran. There were very few Lutherans in the South.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Lutherans here.
There are a lot of Lutherans here. So what is your understanding of that right. and how it informs the vision?
So the Lutheran notion of vocation, as I see it, is it that when you prepare yourself, you're not preparing yourself only in terms of your personal individual development, but you are preparing yourself for the contribution that you will make in the world. Now, that might be volunteering, it might be service, it might be in a not-for-profit, it might be an economic contribution, but there's an acknowledgement and a seriousness about what that contribution is going to be. Now, I don't want to say that it's only Lutheran. Mm-hmm. I think I could make the same case about Catholic vocation mm-hmm. and even Midwestern practicality. So it all makes sense to me in this region, but it is not a sense of kind of a exclusively a personal refinement, mm-hmm. that education is all about my inner life. It also needs to be about my outer life.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably helpful to note that even though Carthage is Lutheran, the majority of our students are not Lutheran.
Right. We have about 10 to 15% Lutheran students and 30% Catholic students. And that's perfectly good as far as I'm concerned. When Lutheran colleges were founded, they weren't founded to serve only Lutherans. They were founded to be a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we provide an education that has Lutheran roots, but it is for everyone. It is for mm-hmm. everyone that believes that that will be important for them.
Okay. One of the ideas that really struck me in the public announcement that you made a few weeks ago was the idea about making it possible maybe for local families to have parents enroll at Carthage in some kind of program or coursework along with their children, maybe not in the same class. But anyway, tell us more about this idea, because it really sounded interesting and unusual to me.
Right. That, for me, is an opportunity to express a commitment to the region and to families by having an appropriate suite of programs where we could provide something for all members of the family. So, for instance, let's suppose that we're enrolling an undergraduate who is coming from a first-generation family. So that person's parents have not received a bachelor's degree, let's say. But they are very likely working. They are very likely people for whom some additional education would help them in their own lives and the contribution that they want to make. And is it possible for us to significantly discount the tuition for the adults, given that their student is enrolling at Carthage as an undergraduate? You're right. It wouldn't be the same classes, very likely. Mm-hmm. You know, what a person who's middle-aged, like me, might need in terms of their our ongoing development is going to be different from what an 18- to 22-year-old will need. But I would like to imagine the possibility of our being able to do this, having adult programs and having undergraduate programs in ways that could meet an entire family's need occasionally. I don't think this is going to be true about most of our students, mm-hmm. But it would be a great way to kind of fully involve a family and have them commit to Carthage and have Carthage commit to them.
So just on a practical note, what kinds of things do you envision? I know we have some adult ed programs that are offered at night. Are you just thinking making those available, or are you talking about a whole different set of things?
Well, it could be those, but this is part of really a reimagining of our adult program altogether. We've had a number of adult programs that were designed for adults who were not working. This was mm-hmm. back when the unemployment rate was much higher, and so the mm-hmm. situation's much different. So I want us to think hard about the adult programs that will meet the needs of working adults now. And some of them may be what we're already doing, and some of them may be new ones. I think if we get that right and know what people need, mm-hmm. Then this kind of idea will start to make sense, and it won't seem like something that might fit only one or two people, but it might fit five or ten.
Right. So there are places that try to do these kinds of things and sort of offer maybe certificate programs mm-hmm. and things like that might enhance someone's work contribution and maybe offer them a chance to move up or on to another position.
That's right.
So that's the kind of thing you're talking about, like maybe financial management certificate or some sort of...
It could be project management. It could be communication. It could be that some folks would like some additional work in, let's say, data analytics. It's not mm-hmm. that they're going to become a mathematician or scientist, but in lots of fields, being able to work with data better makes an employee more effective to do the work they need to do. Going back to mapping where the...
I was going to say GIS.
Right, the GIS work. So that's just broadly applicable. And so if we could offer those in smaller chunks, mm-hmm. You know, for reasonable and, in this case, very discounted tuition, then I think that we would be providing a great service to a great many people.
Right. Okay. That helps kind of outline that. I was so intrigued by that idea, and I was thinking, like, how is that going to work? And we don't really know for sure yet how it would work, but now that sort of fills out the thinking a little bit. Once again, you are listening to WGTD HDFM, and this is Education Matters. This discussion with Carthage College President John Swallow about his vision for Carthage and its role in the region is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So I want to take a few minutes away from the grand vision and kind of bring it back down to earth so people know a little bit about you. So here are a few less lofty questions. So how has your family settled into this new area? And what's been most challenging besides the weather? And what's been most unexpected? I'm assuming the weather has been a shock.
I think Midwesterners do a great job preparing you by telling you just how terrible it will be. And then it turns out it's not quite as terrible as everyone says.
Yeah.
Well, we were settling in really well. It's taken Cameron and me a while to understand how we should be here and acknowledge and interact in lots of ways with lots of people. I mean, one sign of how well we're settling in is that Cameron is now part of a bluegrass band. And so she's very excited on that score. And she's joined groups like the Kenosha Literacy Council.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taken us some time. But even after a year and a half, I feel like we're pretty well integrated. Not that we know everyone. There are a lot more people to meet. But we're settling really quite well. This is honestly a new adventure for us. So our kids are in college or out of college. So this is a new region of the country. My children were saying that, you know, we were kind of all going to a new school.
Yeah, right.
Either graduate school or undergraduate school or a school to work at. Most challenging, it might be that what's new for Cameron and me is that there are too many opportunities for things to do here. And I know that may sound strange to people who have spent their lives in Kenosha, but frankly, there's no way to do it all. In the summer, there seems to be a music festival on every corner, on every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And even during the winter from Milwaukee to Chicago, there's so many arts and events, and there's so many shows at museums, and there's so many just kind of fun pop-up things that this is new for us. So it used to be we could do everything that a local community had to offer,
right,
and we would do those same things every year. And so that's been a bit of a challenge as to how to work there and acknowledge that we will never be able to do all that's out there.
I mean, honestly, you can't even do everything just at the Carthage campus.
Right.
Or if you want to go to Parkside and Gateway, there's always stuff going on at those two campuses. And then if you just go into the local school districts, you know, there's this nationally award-winning theater program. There's amazing music programs.
Right.
There's all the sports. I mean, you couldn't possibly do everything. And I imagine that's very different from being in a town with 3,000 people in it.
Yes, it is. It is.
Right.
And, you know, the smaller the community, the more there feels like a sense of obligation.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to have a new event that when there is a new event, everyone really ought to show up, and
mm-hmm.
you feel that because you all want to support that new event.
Right.
But here it's just remarkable how much is happening.
Right. There is a lot going on. So what has been most unexpected?
Well, although my family came from the Midwest, this is the first time we've lived in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we were fully prepared for the friendly but direct nature of Midwesterners. So in the South, people are very friendly and very polite, but let's just say a lot less direct around mm-hmm. anything that might have any conflict. And here, I don't feel that people want conflict, but they acknowledge where it might exist, that you and I might simply disagree on
mm-hmm.
a point and that we need to record that and then maybe move on or maybe talk about it more. And I know that maybe that's maybe that's Midwestern. Maybe it's being part of a more populated area. Maybe it's because we're closer to Chicago. I don't know.
Hmm.
But that we weren't expecting, but just because we hadn't thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I hadn't expected. We thought that living close to a lake would be exciting and new and that we would like to see the lake. But we didn't anticipate that hearing the lake would change
mm-hmm.
each day, that sometimes it's calm and sometimes it's angry. So that was unexpected for us.
Right. It is amazing to listen to the lake, isn't it?
It is.
So I'm going to have to skip ahead a little bit because we're running out of time. But
okay.
I do have to ask you what your favorite flavor of Kringle is.
Cherry Kringle.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Had you ever eaten Kringle before?
No.
Neither had I. Yeah, I spent my whole upbringing in Wisconsin.
And
never
I
even heard of a Kringle until 2007.
Well, I understand it's now the Wisconsin state pastry by
I
law.
Guess so. And then the last thing I wanted to ask is that, you know, listeners are often moved by specific stories about students and teachers that guests tell us on this program. So what's a great Carthage story that you've heard or experienced that you think encapsulates the college and its place in Kenosha and beyond?
I was invited last semester to go to the Racine Hospitality Center. Frank Hicks, who directs our nursing program, had suggested that I should come by and learn more. And what I discovered there was that our nursing students, the seniors, have been visiting every Friday to learn how to provide care outside of an institutional setting with a population that's challenged, and that it had taken them weeks to win the trust of those folks. And they started by washing dishes first. They didn't start by being nurses or nursing students.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing part of the story for me is that by the end of the semester, because they were there, because they were trained, because they had done that good work, they actually encountered somebody who was having a heart attack and who might not otherwise have been able to receive care not knowing where to go or having it. But it happened while the students were there, and they were able to identify it, provide some early care, call an ambulance. And that, to me, is a wonderful story about being out in the community and having a genuine impact and learning along the way.
Okay. Thank you very much, President John Swallow of Carthage College. This has been Education Matters.